All right. If you have your Bibles, if you open to Matthew chapter 11, we read verses 28 through 30. And I guarantee you we'll be going home early tonight. I don't know how long the message will be tonight, but I just, my hope and prayer is that I'll be a blessing to you. You know, I was thinking about when Pastor O asked me, I can't remember how long ago, a few days ago, if I'd bring the message tonight. He thought about what I would teach on, and something that I know that I need in my life is I need to figure out how to have rest. Now, I'm not talking about sleeping. I mean, that's good. I mean, if I could get 6 hours or more sleep a night, that'd be fantastic. But I think when I say rest, I'm thinking about in our lives personally. I think sometimes we go about the hustle and bustle of everything and everything that we have going on. And I think what happens is we get so much going on in our lives that we just don't take a minute to say, to stop and smell the roses. You know what I mean? And, you know, I was doing some studying on this, and I was reading actually two books. One's a pamphlet, and one's actually a book called titled God is More Than Enough by Jim Berg. If you've never read that book, I recommend you get that book. I think it's the prequel to the Quieting the Noisy Soul series. It's a fantastic book. And so I got some thoughts from that on the first chapter. And then the pamphlet's in the back. I don't know if any of you have read the one on the one that says burned out. Has anybody read that one yet? Great. You won't have to after tonight. But actually, it gives some good thoughts. Actually, you read that pamphlet and it gives you some, it actually makes you want to study this subject more, because it's really interesting when it comes to rest in the Bible and what it's being talked about here. And so I'm hoping that this could be a blessing, because if anybody needs it, it's me first. And so we'll see how that goes. But in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, it says this: come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, this is Christ talking. I mean, could you imagine if you're standing at the feet of Christ and he said this to you personally, one-on-one? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I would be like, wow, those are some words of hope and encouragement, hearing that from him. He goes on, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We just thank you so much for this opportunity that you allow us to be here tonight. Lord, we just pray for the safety of those traveling to the competition in Santa Maria. We ask for your protection. Watch over them, Lord. May no injury or harm come to them. We ask that you be with our students and all the participants in the competition, Lord. May it be their desire that what they do tomorrow, may they realize those are gifts that are given to them from you, Lord. May they realize those talents are given them to honor and glorify you. Now, Lord, I just ask that you will be with the message tonight. Father, I ask that you just control every thought in my mind and every word that comes out of my mouth. And, Lord, I know that everything I know comes from you, and the strength I have to do anything in my life comes from you, Lord. And I thank you for this opportunity in your name. Amen. I'm just going to focus more on the first verse here. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, the word rest comes up twice in these passages. And I think Christ is saying something for us here. Now, this passage here, one person said, this passage tells us how to have peace with God and how to have the peace of God. Now, I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, if I'm going to have rest, I've got to have the peace of God in my life. Because there's no other perfect peace. I mean, you know, we look throughout history, peace treaties have been made throughout history and they're never kept. So the only perfect peace is God's peace. And so how do we find that? And I believe we find that by figuring out how to have rest in God. And so I'm hoping tonight that I could maybe convey that thought here. But when we look at this, Christ first says, he says, come to me. He is given an open invitation. He knows our predicaments. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows the busyness that we're dealing with. Man, as I stand in the hallway, I saw John come in. And I mean, he looked like he just woke up. He looked worn out. I got to tell you, man, I was saying, you know what? I'm right there with you, brother. I mean, and you come Wednesday night and you're thinking, man, do I want to come to church or not? I mean, you know, the busyness. But, you know, I think later on I'm going to show why being in church we can find rest here. And why would we want to be anywhere else? And so I'll get to that in a minute. But first of all, Christ has given us an invitation. He says, come to me. And so immediately, when we're looking at how busy our lives are and we're trying to look for solutions and we're trying to look for answers to the things that we're dealing in our lives, the only person we should run to first is Christ. And that's what he's saying here. Come unto me. Come to me. Not only that, but he says, come unto me, all who labor. So he even knows our predicament and he's given us that invitation. He's not even waiting for us to break down to where we're at the lowest point. He's asking us to come where we're at now so that he can help us before things get worse. You know, it seems like we don't turn to God or we don't turn to Christ for situations of life until it's like we're at our wits' end. But I don't think that's what Christ is conveying here. He's given us the invitation to come to him now where we're at in our lives, not to where we're at the point of no return. And so he says here, come unto me, all you who labor. Now, the word labor here is an interesting word. It means to grow weary, to be beaten out. The root word here means to take a beating. All right? That's what it means. Now, I don't know about you, but as most of you know, I manage two affordable properties in Contra Costa County, one in Richmond and one in Pittsburgh. And you probably ask yourself why. I have no idea. I'm still trying to figure that out. And actually, in all the time I've been doing property management, I've been doing it for 13 years. That's all I've ever done is affordable properties. And I mean, when they gave me this opportunity to manage both properties, I said, sure. I'm not sure why. But, you know, but sometimes you take a beating. And you know, you listen to every excuse why this happened or why they can't pay this or, you know, all. I mean, you hear it all. I mean, my biggest mistake is never taking a diary of all the stories I've heard of why people can't pay rent. I mean, I could publish that book right now and retire. I've got some great ones. And John, I'm sure you got some good ones too. But you know, we go about our daily lives and regardless of what we do, you gotta face the facts. You take a beating. You do. Because you're out there laboring, and you take a beating at what you do. And Christ knows that. And he says, hey, come unto me, all you who are taking a beating. That's what he's saying here. And then he says, if not, then those that are heavy laden. Now, the picture here of heavy laden is to be burdened down like a ship loaded with cargo. That's what that means there. So Christ right here, he's saying to two groups of people, he says, you who have taken a beating, you're laboring and you're going about it, you're busy, you're beaten, and those who are heavy laden, just have burdens on your shoulders that you don't know what to do with. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And you're like, man, this is a great invitation. So how do we find this rest, or where does this idea of rest comes from? Well, I think it's important where we first see rest established. But before we do that, I just want to say is that a lot of times we try to take situations in our own lives, and Proverbs 3:5-8 is a great, and I promise I don't have a lot of passages to turn to like I did that the last Sunday I preached, but Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5-8, this is a great passage here, and it's a warning about, not trusting in the Lord. But it says in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and what? Lean not into your own understanding. I mean, we're commanded to trust in God and not in ourselves here. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It's not saying in some of your ways and 95% of them. He's saying in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he'll do what? He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And then when you do these things, it's interesting because it says here in verse 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Man, that sounds like rest, doesn't it? And so I think what happens is we go about the busyness in our life trying to figure out how to do things our own, and we're not going to the right source. So where does this idea of rest first come up? Well, go to the first book in the Bible. Now picture this for a minute. God spoke the very existence into everything. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let the firmaments and, my version. But he spoke it into existence. Now, when I try to picture God doing this, I'm not sure he had a hard time doing it. I don't even know if he broke a sweat doing it. Think about that for a minute. I mean, he just stood there, spoke everything we see into existence. Created man. And then after all that, he rested. Now, if God rested from the work that he did, I think he's putting an importance on rest. Because if he did it, then maybe we should be doing it, right? And this is the all-powerful, almighty God, who, as far as I know, I don't think needs rest, but he did anyways. Because I think he was showing us an example here that rest is important. You know, not only is we see a good example of rest in the Bible and where it starts, but, you know, God also commands it. I mean, it's one of the commandments, right? We're supposed to... I'm forgetting my Ten Commandments here, but the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, if you want to have a fun study, you should study the Sabbath. Okay, because from what I understand and just in what I was able to gather here together, just follow me here. You work 6 days, you rest on the seventh day, right? Okay, and that's what God commanded. Now, when you study it more, the children of Israel were supposed to labor for 6 years. On the seventh year, they did nothing. God said, look, on the seventh year, you will not plant anything. You won't do anything. You're going to rest a whole year. Now, I wish I could rest a whole year. Think about that. But when you focus on this for a little bit. If they had to rest on the seventh year, they didn't plant anything, then everything that was planted or harvested on the sixth year was going to take them through the seventh year, right? Now, my friend, I don't know about you, but that would take some faith. Now, I'm getting somewhere with this, okay? So just hold on here. So everything that was planted on the sixth year was supposed to carry you through the seventh year. So then, but what happens on the eighth year, you started planting. So really, it's not until the ninth year did you really start seeing your harvest from the eighth year. So really, think about this. What God was commanding the children of Israel to do is that what you planted on the sixth year was actually going to carry you through for 3 years. Now, that's faith. Now, I think God is establishing something here. Okay? And then if you go on to study, you know, you get the year Jubilee, and it's almost like they press the reset button, and everything goes back to the way it was. And we could be here till 8:30 talking about that. It's a fantastic study. So hopefully I touched on it enough that you'll go home and you'll study this some more, because it's really good stuff. But when I see how God emphasized resting on the Sabbath and all this, I have to come to a idea that rest is actually an act of faith. Think about it. Why don't we stop to take time and do what we're supposed to do, or just take time to study and read in prayer, because we feel like we're too busy? I mean, if you ask a lot of people why they don't come to church, sometimes they'll just say, I'm too busy. But I think when you actually are resting in the Lord, you are developing your faith. And so here, I believe rest is an act of faith. So, question I want to ask you here tonight is, do we recognize this world as God's, or do we manage it as our own? I mean, think about that. You know, God wants us to find rest in Him, not in our own proud efforts. And so what are some ideas that we can go about rest? And I've got three thoughts here, and I'm going to give these here. Number one, I think one of the ways we can find rest is we focus on the work of Christ and the labor that He has done for us. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, if I think about what Christ did on the cross for me, that He has secured my eternal status, that alone should be good enough for me. I'm not sure who I was talking to about this, but, you know, sometimes I think we get this thing twisted around. We can trust God with our eternal status, that one day we're going to be with Him for all eternity. Now, our finite minds cannot figure out what infinite is. Did I say that right? Yeah. We think we can, but we really can't. I mean, you try to visualize, what does eternity mean? What could eternity be like? Okay, well, I've used this with the kids before in junior church. I've told them, pretend the moon is just a big cracker. And you get this bird, and he flies from the earth to the moon and takes a peck, and then he comes back to the earth. And then he keeps doing this figure eight thing, you know, and just keeps pecking at the moon, till the moon is gone. And they're like, wow, that would take a long time. And I said, yes, and eternity just started. And so we trust God with that, But we look at our material things right before us and we can't. So what I think we need to do is number one, we just need to focus on the work of Christ and what he has done for us and just allow him, or we just need to trust him in every aspect of our life. A couple Sundays ago, I when I was preaching, I said, it is impossible to please God without what? Faith. And so, by resting, we're practicing our faith. That is one thing, too. Number two, I think to find rest, we need to repent of our pride. You say, what do you mean by that? I don't know about you, but I'm like this at work. If I don't do it, who will? If I don't do it, who will? And you know, sometimes even in the ministry of the church here, we can be like that. If I don't do it, who will? But let me emphasize something here. If you try to do it all, and I'm learning this now, you're gonna fall apart. And I'm learning that the hard way. And I'm gradually learning this word called delegation. It's hard, but I'm learning it. And you know what I found out? The more that I practice it, the little funner it is. Because what I've come to realize is as I delegate things in my office, I get to see people underneath me develop as workers. And what we do indirectly is when we get this attitude that if I don't do it, nobody will. Do you know what we're doing? We're keeping others around us from developing the way God wants them to develop. And so what better way to find rest than to show someone how to do something? Sort of like, what, the phrase, take the monkey off your back, right? So there, I think we need to repent of our pride there. If we don't do it, who will? Train someone else underneath you to help you out. And then I think the third thing we can do to find rest is we need to look at our Bible time, our Bible reading, our prayer time, not as a requirement, but as a time of rest. I mean, what better way to find rest than reading God's word and praying? Last night I was up late last night. I was, you know, putting this together and just asking the Lord, Lord, I don't know how this is going to come together, but it's all going to be on you. But after I was done studying all that I could and all that I could stay awake, I fell asleep. You know what? I woke up refreshed. You know why? Because I had rested in the Lord the night before. And so I think what we should look at our devotional time, not as a requirement that this is what God wants us to do, but let's take it as a time of rest. I mean, I don't know anybody who's ever read their Bible and prayed and felt like, all right, got my duty out of the way. I don't know about you, but every time I take time like that, I feel refreshed, I feel rested, and I feel like I can move forward for the Lord. And by the way, that's why I think, and you know, and I'm just saying this, and it's not to the folks here tonight, but this is why we need to pray for others. I think not coming to church is a lack of faith, because I think one of the best places you can find rest is here in the church. Listening to, you know, whoever. Teach something, share something from the Word of God that maybe you could probably take home and study out. And I just honestly feel that if we don't rest like we should in the Lord, I think we're lagging in faith. Because I don't think we're taking the time that we need, or we just think we're too busy. No, I don't think we're ever too busy. I mean, and I'll finish with this. We should be able to trust the Lord that regardless of how busy we are, that if we take the time that we're supposed to spend with the Lord, He'll help us get everything else done. And that's the way we should approach it. But I think sometimes in our busyness, we cut God out more than we should. Christ says here, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I don't know about you, my friend, but man, I want to find some rest. And I really, really want to figure out what this means. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time together, Lord. And we may we take to heart what was given here tonight, that we can find rest in you in our lives, Lord. Lord, we ask that you be with this prayer time tonight. We thank you for this time together in your name. Amen.